God chooses not to remember our sins, and he wants us to do the very same thing and not dwell upon our past. But despite the, you know, his sinful past, Paul is able to say, you know, as he writes in Philippians 4, verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Even with the past that he had, Paul said, I am not going to allow my past to deplete my joy. Was he sorry for what he had done? Deeply. Godly sorrow. I mean, did he learn from his sinful past? You better believe it. Yes, he learned. When he talked about his persecution of the church to make a point, do you think it saddened him to think about what he had done in his past? No doubt. No doubt. But what he remembered most every day of his life was how God bestowed upon him, the worst of sinners, his abundant grace and mercy. Clara Barton founded the American Red Cross in 1881. Of course, you know the American Red Cross, an organization that has helped countless numbers of people during the most heart-wrenching tragedies of their lives. But one day, a friend reminded Barton of a particular hateful thing that someone had done to her years before. And when Barton, you know, just kind of ignored that comment and acted as if she, had no idea what she was talking about, her friend then recalled the conversation. Don't you remember that, she asked. Don't you remember what that person did to you? Don't you remember? And then Barton said, no, I distinctly remember forgetting it. Forgiveness really does involve remembering to forget. When God forgave you and me for something we did yesterday, or 6 weeks ago, or 50 years ago, he intentionally remembers it no more. And ever since that, he has viewed us as if it never happened. That it never happened. I mean, even if we've had to live with the consequences of it, God has never once considered putting it back on our record and calling us an account to it. Never, ever. I mean, even if others, you know, who say they have forgiven us hasn't been so gracious, God will never pull it out of a dusty file on Judgment Day. Okay, Fred, let's go here. Oh. Did you really do this? God will never, ever do that. He forgave our sinful past. In fact, someone quoted this earlier. I think it may have been Don, if I'm not mistaken. In Psalm 103, verse 12, where the psalmist says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. Amen? Amen. He distinctly remembers to forget it. And he wants us to do the same. You know, there are things, again, in our past that we've all been guilty of. If you're a child of God, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. The Apostle Paul in our text in Philippians chapter 3 says, one thing I do, I forget what is behind. I forget my past. I forget what is behind. The day that occurred is recorded in Scripture. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 was on his way to Damascus with letters from the chief priest that whoever he found who belonged to the way, that's you and me, that's Christians, all the Christians that he found, he was going to be bringing them all back, gather them up, bind them together, gather them up, and take them back to Jerusalem to be tortured, to be killed, That was his plan. So he's on his way to Damascus to do that very thing. And then Jesus appears to him. And he cries out, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And there's this bright light that has blinded Paul. And Paul is on the ground. He cannot see. He just hears this voice. "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he says, "Well, who are you?" And he says, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." Now, I want you to understand that Jesus, Paul might have been there when he was crucified, you know, on AD 33, but he wasn't part of that. But yet Jesus said, "You are persecuting me." And the way that Paul persecuted Jesus is by persecuting the church of Jesus Christ. He tells Paul to go into Damascus, and there it will be told what you need to do. Paul doesn't, you can imagine. The Bible says that Paul for 3 days was blind and hadn't eaten and drank anything for 3 days. Just thinking about Jesus, thinking about what he said, thinking about the church that he has tried to destroy, and that this he spoke to me? He really is the Messiah? He spoke to me? He really is the Son of God? And I've done all these horrible, horrible things against Jesus and his church. I'm sure that his past just came and slapped him in the face, in his heart, knowing all the horrible things that he has done in trying to stamp out the church, when all along, that was Jesus, the Son of God. There's a man named Ananias who comes to Paul. First of all, it's interesting when God speaks to Ananias. And he says, "Listen, I want you to go. I've got a job for you. I want you to go, and I want you to talk to Saul of Tarsus." And immediately he says, "Who? That you talking about the church destroyer? I mean, you're talking about the man who has killed Christians, the man that you want me to go talk to him?" He says, go talk to him. And so Ananias goes there and he talks to him. As you read in Acts chapter 22, Ananias comes to Paul as Paul is describing this to people who are gathered, you know, have arrested him, and they're gathered around him. And Paul is describing what it was like to give his life to Jesus. And Paul says, "Ananias comes to me, and the scales that were on my eyes just fell off, and now I was able to see. And Ananias says to me," here's the scripture, "what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and do what? Wash your sins away, calling on his name." Here is Saul of Tarsus, who has murdered Christians. Here is Saul of Tarsus that did everything that he could to destroy Jesus and the way. And then now Ananias tells him, "God can forgive all of that. God can forgive all of that. This is what you need to do, Paul. What are you waiting for? Man, don't hesitate any longer." That's what he's saying. "What are you waiting for? Get up. Be baptized." The word baptized there is baptizo, which means be immersed in water. so that all of your sins, all the things that you have done to Jesus, all the horrible, vile things you have done to the church, to Christians, all of that will be washed away. Has your past been washed away? What we've got to understand is that God, through His Son Jesus, sending Him to this earth to die for us, has made way for us to have eternal life with Him. That's what He's done for us. Jesus hung up on that cross, shedding His blood so that we can have eternal life, so that we can live with God forever. And all He says is that you got to believe it. You got to believe that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. And that God sent Him to this earth to live among us, to show us who God is, to show us His love and His mercy, and to, through His sacrifice on the cross, allowing us to have eternal life with Him. You've got to believe that Jesus is indeed the Son of God and that He came to this earth to die for you. But you also got to believe that you're a sinner. I have in my 40-plus years of ministry, I have spoken to people who told me that they did not commit sin. And I said, man, people who say that, I think, just committed sin, you know? I mean, man, you just lied. Now, they may have a misunderstanding of what sin is, but yet they committed sin, okay? But we've got to realize that we are a sinner and we are doomed. If we remain in our sins, we are doomed. But it doesn't have to be that way. Because God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross, to shed His blood for us. When we accept Him as our Lord and Savior in baptism, we are cleansed by His precious blood, and all of our sins are washed away. Every sin you've committed, every sin. Now, even those sins that just sicken you every time you think about it, they're wiped clean through the blood of Jesus. Everyone. That's what God has done for us. We're going to be singing this invitation song. I know every Sunday we have an invitation song. Every Sunday. And there are those who sit in this assembly every Sunday who have yet given their life to Jesus. They have not yet been cleansed of their sins through the blood of Jesus Christ in baptism. They haven't. And yet every Sunday they sit in here and they hear this invitation song and they remain just stay there where they are. They never make a move. They never make a move. And Paul wants us to understand, as Ananias told him, is what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins. We have the baptistry prepared. It's clean. It's nice and warm. And we've got it prepared for you today. If you truly just are ready, if you say in your heart, I am sick and tired of the life I've lived. I am sick and tired of all the things that I have done and not yet have truly given it to Jesus. I am sick and tired of that life. And if today is the day, will you please give your life to Christ? You're not going to be perfect. If you're waiting until you're perfect to come, then you don't need Jesus, okay? You don't need him. You're not going to be perfect. But what happens is that through the blood of Jesus, every day, as Paul said, I press on to reach the goal. He says, I'm not perfect. I haven't achieved it yet. But I press on every day to be more like Jesus. And every day, you're going to be more like Jesus. And one day, when life on this earth is over, you're going to be standing before God. And God is going to say to you, even though you're not perfect, and even though you haven't yet reached that point where you're like Jesus, you've been striving to be, he's going to say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. God has a place for you in heaven. He wants you to be saved. And if we can help you today to pray over you, if we can help you today to talk to you about what it means to be saved, if you're ready today to give your life to Jesus, all you need to do is just come and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I accept him as my Lord and my Savior. And the word Lord just simply means he's my master. Not my past, not my sins, that Jesus is my master. And if we can help you today, will you please come as together we stand and we sing.